What's the most obvious Utah landmark you can see from space?
We'll give you a hint. It's not the Kennecott Mine, and it's not that weird spider thing at the Loveland Living Planet Aquarium in Draper either.
The Claw!
Nope! We're talking about the Great Salt Lake, baby!
I'm concerned about arsenic-laced air, loss of bird and brine shrimp habitat, tanking property values, sky-high insurance rates. Seems like the legislature sometimes chases down solutions like tree felling and building a pipeline, and doesn't really address the issue of the growth in our valley and how to address this real, very real need for more water in the Great Salt Lake.
I'm Sage Miller.
And I'm Sean Higgins. We heard from a lot of you that issues surrounding the lake were at the top of your minds this legislative session.
Y'all asked about Great Salt Lake, and we're here to answer the call. This week on State Street, what's going on with Utah's greatest, saltiest lake?
And what needs to be done in order to save it?
So, Great Salt Lake has seen better times. That's a given. But technically, it's in a better position now than it was in the summer of 2022. So, we're going to start with a little refresher for you.
Yes. 2 years ago, Utah was so deep in a decades-long drought. The winters were lackluster, which meant snowmelt was barely making its way to the lake, if at all. The ecosystems were struggling hardcore, and the lake was starting to get too salty for much of anything to survive. Even those iconic brine shrimp.
Sea monkeys, the amazing instant pets for the whole family.
The state of Great Salt Lake caught national attention that year, and it wasn't positive. The New York Times called it Utah's environmental nuclear bomb. State leaders were not too pleased with that characterization.
We should say that before the Times piece even came out, Utah lawmakers had already kicked things into high gear earlier that year in the 2022 Utah legislative session. They dubbed it the Year of Water.
They passed sweeping changes to Utah water law. Millions of dollars were allocated to water conservation programs, and we started keeping track of how much water commercial and residential users consumed for things like landscaping.
These changes were monumental in a lot of ways, and people changed their habits too. They conserved more water. Some of you guys even let those lush lawns go brown.
Here's Governor Spencer Cox talking about the changes in a June 2022 news conference.
Some have said these are just baby steps, and we've had experts say, no, you don't understand. We just changed 160 years of major water policy in this state that people thought would never be changed, and it's that beneficial use piece. Again, it's really wonky. It's technical. I know only if you're a water person does this get you excited, but it's incredibly meaningful. So I don't know that we need more changes around the structure now. We need to play this out and see if these changes are working, but certainly definitely need more around the funding piece.
For the record, when Cox says water people, that's me!
Way to own it, Sage.
I just love water.
It's important to note that while 160 years of water policy were given a facelift, it takes more than the governor's signature on a bill to see results right away. The lake levels aren't exactly going to fill up like your bathtub.
State leaders admit Great Salt Lake is up against some big demons, but policymaking is complicated. And I promise you, water law is even more complicated. There can be hundreds and sometimes literally tens of thousands of stakeholders to take into account. Sometimes those stakeholders are you, the residents of this desert state.
And realistically, there's only so far we can go through policy alone. At a certain point, it just needs to snow, like a whole lot, in order to fill up the lake.
And last year, we got that snow. It was a record-breaking winter, which was great, but we're not out of the woods yet. Not even close. The lake is still at critically low levels, but it did give the ecosystems a little bit of a boost.
Lawmakers also wanted to minimize the amount of cooks in the Save Great Salt Lake kitchen, so they created the Great Salt Lake Commissioner to oversee it all. The job is essentially to be the point person for all things related to the lake.
Brian Steed was selected to be the GSL's first commissioner in May 2023. He's also the executive director of the Janet Quinney Lawson Institute for Land, Water, and Air at Utah State University. His first order of business was to create a strategic plan.
And that brings us to this year, and we'll tell you all about it after the break.
You're listening to State Street.
Support for State Street comes from the Hinckley Report on PBS Utah. I'm Jason Perry, director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics. The Hinckley Report is Utah's weekly political roundup, bringing together Utah's top journalists, political thinkers, and lawmakers to help you understand how politics impacts your life. Listen to the Hinckley Report wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Caroline Ballard, State Street's executive producer. We know that our show's listeners are smart and curious, and we want to harness that power. Do you have a question that's been keeping you up at night about how the legislature works? We're also interested in what issues are most important to you this session. Let us know at kubr.org/statestreet. We may tackle your question in future reporting.
Welcome back to State Street. I'm Sage Miller.
And I'm Sean Higgins. So the Great Salt Lake Strategic Plan was just released earlier this year. It's a 42-page manifesto chock full of short-term, medium-term, and long-term things the state can do to help out our salty friend over the next 30 years.
Steed spoke with KUER's Radio West about the strategic plan. Here's how he framed it.
What we wanted to do is come up with something actionable that we could actually do over the next, you know, however long that we need to save the lake. And that's something that I think that people have to understand, that we got in this mess over a lot of years. It's going to take us a lot of years to get out of that mess. But what we do actually does matter, and we can have an impact.
You heard the man. It's going to take more than a hot second for us to dig ourselves out of the hole we're in. But that doesn't mean it's impossible. It just means we have a lot of work to do. And that work includes everyday Utahns, especially those who live in the Great Salt Lake Basin. Here's Steed again.
We have to conserve more. And whether you're a farmer or a rancher, whether you're someone like me that doesn't have a farm or a ranch, but I have some grass in front of my house, I've got to make sure that I am treating the water as responsibly as it needs to be treated.
One of the biggest things the plan does is set a target lake level range. It sets the goalpost right around 4,200 feet above sea level. For perspective, Great Salt Lake is currently sitting a few feet below that target. And even that makes a big difference. It means ecosystems are still struggling, but they're not totally suffocating from lack of oxygen and dying off.
Huh. Setting a target level for the lake. That sounds oddly familiar.
Because it is. Democratic Senator Nate Bluin tried to pass a non-binding resolution to do just that last legislative session. It failed. Hard. Governor Spencer Cox even called the proposal dumb.
But now the range has been set, all has been forgiven, and the report does outline that we got 30 years to hit that range. And voluntary conservation is something we can do right now.
The legislature really likes incentives. Bigger fans of the carrot than the stick.
Utah will literally pay you to get rid of your water-guzzling lawn. And they're working on allocating even more money to that program this year.
Last year, lawmakers threw farmers $200 million to update their infrastructure to help waste less water because of leaky pipes and things like that. It's also known as agricultural optimization. Governor Spencer Cox originally asked for $500 million, but Steed says this kind of funding is a big deal. Agriculture uses nearly 80% of Utah's water supply.
And the good news is that you can do things differently. The good news is that there are water-saving mechanisms you can apply, and the state has been very aggressive over the last 2 years or so trying to promote what they call agricultural optimization, trying to get as much water savings through technological adaptations as possible.
No one is totally sure just how much water has been conserved through ag optimization. It's a fairly new program, and it needs more data for us to know how well it's working.
Entities that own water rights or shares are also now able to lease or donate that water to Great Salt Lake. You know, if they feel like it.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints did just that. the church permanently donated about 20,000 acre feet to the lake. That's around 6.5 billion, with a B, gallons of water.
But there is something these efforts all have in common. They're voluntary.
And Steed says voluntary action is just the reality of where we're at right now.
I think if things were to progress and to get worse, there are regulatory mechanisms that I think we'd like to avoid, honestly, because we live in a conservative state. And as a conservative state, people are going to take umbrage with the notion of the heavy hand of government coming and enforcing you.
The legislature is still mulling over water policy, making tweaks to pass legislation. Seriously, in some cases, it's just trial and error. They're trying to figure out what works and what doesn't.
The legislature is trying to encourage water users, that's all of us, to use less of this finite resource. At the same time, lawmakers are also looking at putting guardrails on companies that extract minerals from lake water.
It's called HB 453, or Great Salt Lake Revisions. Essentially, they're looking at making it harder and more expensive for those companies to operate.
Republican House Speaker Mike Schultz had some choice words for some of those mineral extraction companies at a committee hearing on February 8th.
We all know, most of us have been up here long enough on this committee to realize how the game works. You stall, you stall, you stall. You don't put forward options, pathways. You come up, you ask for concessions. Representative Snyder's worked on some of those, not with you, but some of those organizations. Mm-hmm. They continue to throw out concerns, and stall. And never find a way to help us work together to collaboratively make sure that we save and protect the Great Salt Lake.
The same day as that committee hearing, Compass Minerals, one of the biggest extraction companies at the lake, said it will pull out of its lithium brine extraction projects at the lake. The Compass Minerals CEO referred to regulatory risks as the reason.
For reference, mineral extraction accounts for about 7% of the water loss from Great Salt Lake.
We heard from listeners that there's a lot of despair around the lake.
Yeah, one person in Salt Lake City even asked if we should start brainstorming new names for Salt Lake City if the lake dries up.
But Sean, I just want to point out something that Utah has going for it, and that's political will. The drying of the Great Salt Lake is a problem Utah leaders say they want to fix. Utahns have been doing their part too.
Utah wants to bring the world here for the Olympics 10 years from now, and an empty lake just wouldn't be a good look.
It's worth noting that some conservation groups don't believe the state is acting fast enough to save the lake. They do, however, acknowledge the steps different agencies have taken to better manage water in the state.
It took decades of drought, explosive growth, and, yes, some poor planning to get the lake to this state. Even with drastic policy changes, it might take some time to see any real results.
And yeah, that sucks. And yeah, a lot of it should have been happening sooner. The thing is, even if change is slow, it doesn't mean it isn't happening.
That does it for this week. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Sage Miller. Thanks to Radio West for letting us use some of their audio. You can check out the full interview with Brian Steed at radiowest.kuer.org.
There's a great crew behind the scenes here making State Street happen. Our digital wizards include Jim Hill, Raquel Davis, and Eleanor Gomberg.
David Childs and KUER News Director Elaine Clark make us sound so smooth. And Executive Producer Caroline Ballard is here herding cats and keeping us in line.
By the way, it was great to hear from so many of you about your concerns with the lake. Thank you so much for sending those in.
And we know we didn't get to all of your questions about the lake. There's a lot to cover. But check out the Great Salt Lake Collaborative. Journalists from around the state are tackling all kinds of questions. You can find that reporting at greatsaltlakenews.org.
And sign up for our newsletter. We'll answer some of those questions there as well.
Other issues on your mind? Drop us a line at kuer.org/statestreet. And catch you next week. I'm like so dehydrated. And I've had like 4 32 ounces of water today.
It's just, we're in the water mood today, you know?
From KUER.